Welcome back to YouTube with the boys. We have a fantastic episode on Video Game Donkey.
Everybody knows the first video game is Mario Brothers, but did you know that the second Mario Brothers wasn't even actually Mario 2? Yeah, it was actually a Japanese game called Harry Potter and the F***ing Wizard. I know. What the hell?
Video Game Donkey is a YouTube commentary channel on video games that has over 7.2 million subscribers. He basically takes very, very long games and edits them down to 5 to 10 minute content in the reviews or gameplay. So today, to analyze his channel with me, I have brought my resident Video Game Donkey expert and friend, Jacob.
Hello, I'm Jacob. And yeah, I would agree. I would like to consider myself to be a somewhat of a Video Game Donkey expert. I've been a very consistent fan for the past 5 years or so. And I've watched all of his post League of Legends content, pretty thoroughly. I think once or twice over, maybe even three times over, I've seen all of his videos. I love him, huge fan, and really excited to discuss the legend himself, Video Game Donkey.
Now, I'm gonna start off with one question. Do you remember the first video you watched? Like, what got you sucked into his content?
Oh, I don't remember. I can recall looking back, seeing a video of his, and then going into his content. And I remember when I first found him, I watched every video, like just going off of like recommended, and then did it all over again. I was such a huge fan. I loved it. But I cannot recall the first Video Game Donkey video I saw. No, had to have been a good one though, because I was hooked.
If there was one aspect that you think like kind of like pulls you into his content, what do you think it would be?
Personally, I think his style of humor aligns pretty strongly with my sense of humor. I think he just has a really strong understanding of comedic timing, and also of video games and what makes them work. And I think what makes them fun to watch. He, like you were saying, he condenses so much into so little. And I think it's because he has such a high threshold for what he'll include in a video, right? And how funny it has to be. And I think structurally as well, the videos are structured in a way that they're jokes that build upon themselves throughout the video. He's very clever with things like that. There'll be something that you pull back in, pull back out, and kind of that flow. It spans across his entire channel and all of his content. Little inside jokes here and there. Once you kind of get the scope of what he does, he'll pull a joke from a different video, drop it in there, pull it out there. He has all these recurring things, and it just feels like a very cohesive experience, right? And a very, like, he has his own culture that he's defined and carved out.
Yeah, I will say it's really interesting because a lot of the videos are edited in a very chaotic way. But like the chaos feels very deliberate in how they're done. Like you can tell like the style and like the fast pacing of it. That is really, it's really hard to do a video that's paced that fastly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has a very strong control of his edit. And I think it's an underrated aspect of his videos because he doesn't have the technical skills. You know, he uses the same red font for every time he puts text on the screen. It always looks the same. It's very iconic, very recognizable. But he plays with sound a lot, sound effects and noises and bringing in things like that and layering, you know, his own voice. And he does another thing, I think, with where he'll use like different microphone setups to give you like a different feel of what's going on. Like sometimes he'll have like a low quality microphone to get that feel like this is raw gameplay, kind of like that talking in the headset kind of feel. But then he'll also have his
like
normal
commentary.
Yeah. Kind of like the real live gameplay versus the dub over with the, it gives you a different feel and he just knows how to play with that.
This reminds me. So do you know anything about Schlatt? No,
I don't think I've watched much of his YouTube content. I've seen him on Twitch.
So Schlatt has this secondary YouTube channel called the Daily Slap, in which he kind of like pays homage to like the old like kind of Call of Duty commentary creators. So I think he plays the original Modern Warfare 2, and he does it with like, he doesn't know webcam, but he does it with like, he like intentionally uses a worse mic to kind of like call in the nostalgic aspect of it. And I think it's interesting, I think, when, you know, creators do that, because it does make a difference.
Yeah, no, there's something about that. Like I remember I think it was when like PewDiePie upgraded his camera and it felt wrong. Like when YouTubers go to that 4K look, that very cinematic look, you lose that sense of like personal connection and like that one-on-one feel, you know? You look at like XQC setup, that shitty webcam, that shitty microphone, something about it feels so personal, right? And I think getting that sensation is something that a lot of YouTubers can struggle to do, right? And a lot of YouTubers, when you push that envelope towards a more high quality standard, you lose a sense of your audience's connection to you.
Yeah, what's interesting is, like, if we look at Mr. Beast, he definitely has enough budget to use, like, actual, like, cameras for, like, cinematic cameras to make movies and stuff. But he sticks with his, like, Sonys because, like, you still want the YouTube feel. Yeah. I think once people get too professional, often it loses this kind of, like, not mom and pop feel, but this kind of, like, you know, it's just one person feel who's not making millions of dollars, because sometimes you want to ignore that fact. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they get too professional, I do think there's a certain extent. But, like, if we talk about Donkey's process, you know, he is recording an Elden Ring video after beating Elden Ring 4 times. And it's clear he likes games. So I always, like, wonder how he played them, because, like, you know, I imagine that sometimes he just plays the game straight through, because I feel like playing the game and recording a game would probably be different. And at least in my mind, with how much he loves games, it seems like he would, like, kind of separate the two. But I wonder if he, like, goes into certain sections if he's played before and goes, oh, I can make jokes out of these, and goes back to make jokes. Or I wonder if he's, like, always recording the whole time, or dubs over content that he just plays silently and he's like, oh, that was a funny moment.
Yeah. There's no way for us to know for sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard him discuss at some point in the past his process, but I might be imagining that. I do know that, I believe he dubs over. I feel like he separates his love for gaming a bit from his YouTube channel. Because, yeah, like you said, he played through Elden Ring 4 times. He's a huge gamer. He very rarely live streams. I don't even know if you knew that he does have a live stream channel.
I didn't.
Very rarely goes live, just plays, like, random shitty games. But I think he considers, you know, the gaming experience to be very sacred. I would imagine he's always recording, just from some of the glitches and things he captures and the funny moments. It feels like he has to be always on to get everything. And I think he does that at the very least, but I don't think he's constantly doing commentary or anything like that. I think he tries to enjoy the game, and, you know, maybe he goes back over, maybe he doesn't. But whatever it is, he has a process that works for him.
The only thing with always recording is it's like you would have so much footage. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder, editing a small video, at least for us, maybe he has this process streamlined down. But let's say he goes, like, oh, yeah, let me make this review on, like, not review, but, like, let me make this. Did you watch the Breath of the Wild video?
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, the things that happened in that video are crazy. Mm-hmm. And maybe there are certain things, like, he goes in to record the fight with the Guardian or whatever. But it's like, he's doing all these, like, tricks and stuff, and I'm like, this must be, like, so many hours of footage edited down to this short thing that is absolutely wild.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at a video like that, it seems like you were saying, he sometimes takes, like, entire games. Like, with his Dark Souls videos, I think he'll take, like, mm-hmm. basically the whole game and just throw in moments all the way through the end. But then you look at a video like the Breath of the Wild video, and it only seems like a very small portion of a game you know he's played through. You know he's mm-hmm. played through it many times, but you're not really seeing, like, you know, like, all the bosses, all the dungeons. You're more so seeing him having fun with the game. And I think, you know, he might have, in a case like a video like that, he's definitely going back saying, I'm going to fight this guardian, but I'm going to do it in the most fun, imaginative way possible. Or I'm going to go kill some bokoblins with the fucking raft and the wind and all that and balloons and just be like, I'm going to see what happens. But there's also then he does that in a way where he can also, you know, push the game to its limits and capture moments that are so, so out of the ordinary that them on their own is content enough.
What's crazy is I've watched multiple people play Breath of the Wild, and I never knew you had that many, like, much magic in it. Like, and I saw people in the comments saying too, like, oh yeah, I've played through this game and I didn't know you could do that. So it's like, I don't know. It's crazy to see how creative we got with that one, especially. I think that, like, I don't know. I was just so surprised to see, like, I hadn't played Breath of the Wild, but it didn't look like Breath of the Wild. It was, like, mm-hmm. such a creative thing that it was almost not Breath of the Wild gameplay.
Yeah. He definitely he puts his own magic into every game he plays. And that's why I especially love watching videos of his on games that I've played. Because mm-hmm. it does open your eyes to something new and an experience you've already had. And you can also appreciate even more, like, what he's doing and how far he's pushing the game and the content. You know, for having played Breath of the Wild, seeing him do those things, it's like, it blows your mind even more.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I like when he, I feel like he's very relatable when he does play through a game. Like, I know we both played through Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and that Guardian Ape sequence. I'm like, that was me, because I didn't know it'd come back to life. I played this like years after, but like his frustration and his like his victory, like just being turned into like depression. I have felt the same thing.
Yeah. He is not afraid to show you his weaker moments for sure. And also I think that's part of what makes his triumph so much greater, is because he'll give you the full story. He's very much a storyteller. And now he'll give you those highs and those lows and really get you into a game. Because, you know, I think I've heard watching people play video games be related to like watching people play sports and getting invested mm-hmm. in things like that. And getting that feeling of like you're out there playing it yourself, or you're playing that sport yourself or that game. And I think him, more than a lot of other creators, will get you into that same mindset that he's in with his frustration, with his passion, victory, defeat. He will suck you in, and he will deliver those sucker punches just beautifully.
Yeah, I think he definitely does just a great job of that. Now,
if you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I'm going to transition because you told me to watch the Heavy Rain video. Which was, I think it's fairly recent. It's only like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was pretty new.
And I, you know, I went into this being like, okay, just this random game. Jacob said it was funny. It already has, it's 1 month ago, has 2.6 million views already. And one, what is that game?
I have known about that game for a long, long time. I remember like being, before I even played games, I can remember, I swear it was like a Watch Mojo video or something when I was a kid, of like funny video game moments. And it was like the glitch from Heavy Rain. And I think I've told you about it, where it's like the guy is just, you, there's like, it's like at the end of the game, you remember in the Donkey video when he, like the guy takes Sean and he has to like, in the, and it's like raining and he has to chase down the big guy who has like his son kidnapped him. And he keeps yelling, Sean, Sean. There was like I don't remember
the guy who took him, but all I remember is I finished this video and I'm like, what is the plot of this game? I have no understanding. It was like this dad and two kids, and all of a sudden there was this random killer in it who was like a police boss, and I've never been more confused over the plot. I'm like, I thought I knew kind of what was going on, but now I don't.
I think the plot of the game is actually good. I think that's just the Donkey effect and how he just pulls out the worst moments in a game. Because I think that's a fairly successful game studio who's made other similar games. I think they made Detroit Become Human.
I was about to say, it looks kind of similar, maybe.
I believe they made that, and that game, you know, has a great story. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the specifics of Heavy Rain, but I know that Donkey certainly made a mockery of it. And I don't know how he was able to manipulate that story and manipulate those moments. Like, the son dying was hilarious. You know, like when the dad got hit by the car, but the son died, the way he points things like that out. You know, you may not notice when you're playing through the game, but he makes them so, or when he failed the quick time events.
Bro.
It's so fucking funny.
That was the funniest video I've watched out of all of them. When he was chasing him through the market and Donkey was just going like, oh, the chickens. Not the chicken. At least he would grab onto this whole lobster. I was, oh my God.
Reminds me of his Knack videos, where he made fun of the QuickTime events and that, or the Spider-Man videos, I think, like the old Spider-Man QuickTime events. Mm-hmm. He used to make fun of those as well, but specifically, his Knack content has become pretty iconic within his community.
That one, it was great. I just liked, and he like knows how to like, he takes the lines, he took some of the lines and like edited it back into, like, it was the dad depressed over his son's death and was like, could go for some orange juice right now.
Yeah. No, that was so good. Again, playing with sound, his underrated element of editing. He's definitely got a mastery of that, of pulling things out, pulling things in. You know, I need a bigger gun, throwing that in.
Of course.
I think he likes pointing out bad voice acting, bad dialogue, because it is so prevalent in games. It's hard to ignore. But I think he just does it the perfect amount. You know, it's never overdone. It's always a nice little kick to go along with things. And he knows when to let the game do the talking as well. Like, he's a funny guy, but there will be, you know, big stretches within a video of him not talking, of just the game doing its thing. And not like gameplay sequences of like him fighting a boss or anything like that, but funny moments, funny sequences, funny scenes spliced together in a way that it kind of adds a nice little bit of pacing, a little break from him, kind of pulls you back into the game, shows the absurdity of the game, and then brings it all together with his own, you know, his own style.
And I do think he does, especially in like the dunk views, I think he does a really great job of kind of encapturing a bit of like this middle ground in which he can still like compliment the game, but still make funny commentary. Because I remember I was watching, I think it was his Red Dead 2 one. And he was like saying all this thing about how the first chapter was great, but like the back end, it was like bad. And meanwhile, I don't think the back end was too bad, but like, I don't know. It was funny because you could tell like his tone was like super complimentary and he like really did enjoy the beginning. But then he still layers it with like commentary and criticism, but he does it in a very funny way with actually not being like outwardly lying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like sometimes if, you know, people like a popular like be like, this is why Red Dead 2 sucks. And they'd be like, the horse, you know, mechanic and like just make up shit. But I feel like Dunkey does a good job of like, he knows, like, he doesn't lean all like negative for the content. And I really appreciate that. I feel like that he generally just does it because he loves the game.
Yeah. No, he is a trusted voice for me. More than anyone else when it comes to game reviews. And I think that's an underrated aspect of his content as well, is that commentary element. Because that's why he started his the game studio, I think, as you know, is because I think he understands games so well and so deeply that he can give a very nuanced opinion, but also stick to his guns, stick to his beliefs about a game. He's never swayed by opinion. If he hates a game, he hates it. If he loves a game, he loves it. I mean, I think in just the game industry in general, he has such a strong stance on a lot of things. One of my favorite videos of his.
I'm gonna pause you for like 1 second because there's an extremely loud buzzing. I don't know why. Wait, I went away there. Yeah, they still. So I guess we'll jump back in. You were talking about talking about his game studio, because he made a game studio, right?
Right. Yeah, I was talking about him and his understanding of the industry. And him and his ability to analyze games and analyze the entire culture around them and be very strongly opinionated and not be, you know, swayed by public opinion, like in his YouTube comments video. That was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one. I don't know if you saw that, but he responded to a lot of backlash on a lot of his popular reviews. And I remember there was a lot of drama with his Death Stranding review. And I remember he made a response video to this response video.
Revisiting Death Stranding, right? Or something like that.
I don't. He did a lot on Death Stranding because he was very strongly opinionated on it. But I remember there was like,
is that the one where you're like carrying like
the packages
and you just like with the weird like baby things?
Yeah. I don't think he liked the game.
It's just a lot of walking, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was exactly, but there was like this hour long video that like broke down his shitty review of it, and then he went back and responded to it and like found pieces of hypocrisy and like pointed out the flaws, and it was just. He's very, very, very passionate about his opinions. And what I was going to say was one of my favorite videos of his that I think is really clever in terms of his commentary videos is his video on game critics. And I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't, no.
But he has this sequence in it where he's discussing bad reviews and like why critics do what they do and where they can go wrong. And he went on this tangent. I think it was about like, what's that one game? With like,
yeah, the one game.
I think it was Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie?
He went on a tangent about what made that game so good and like different elements. And it felt very natural. Like he was talking about a review and then he went into it and gave his own opinion. And he went on like a minute, 2 minute long tangent. And then he was like, do you guys remember what this video is about? It's about game critics. What just happened? I lost focus, right? I went into something completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what game critics do. And he gave the example and it was like, it was
like
just
an essay,
so,
like a video essay, basically.
Yeah, but he like the way he he went off course just to prove his point and like give an example. I thought it was so interesting and so clever that like, cause it's, it was, it, it worked so well and so naturally as this kind of, you know, long segue where he, you kind of saw him using his own opinion and personality kind of to infuse a bit of more, more fun and laughter to the video that was pretty serious and pretty sharp on what it had to say. And used it to kind of satirize what was going on in the game critic industry. So I think that shows his range, you know, as well.
Now we talked about his range and that he's like really cool guy. No, we love him. Bro is the whitest dude I have ever seen.
Yeah, he's quite white.
And it's like you look up a picture of like gamer, it's him, bro.
He is super gamer. He loves his spaghetti and meatballs. As you may know, I don't know if
I like do, but I like I don't.
That goes way back. I remember there's a really good. I think it's either a Gary's mod or a CS:GO video. I think it was a CS:GO video where he had like a sound box of himself, and like would just play like play like voice clips of him, and like people would be like, "Is that Dunkey?" And they're like, "No, it's just a sound box." And he would just keep saying, "I would like the spaghetti and meatballs," and then everyone would be asking him in chat, "Say spaghetti and meatballs." And he would. I would like the spaghetti. I don't know if that's where it comes. I think it'd go before that. Uh-huh. But just another piece of very clever content. And the way he can interact with outside.
Yeah. Clever content.
Well, yeah, using a voice box to yourself is it's an interesting way to go about it. He can pull in random gamers so well, I think, and capture funny moments and piss people off. And you know he's cutting out the shit where he's being a bad person to make them look like bad people. Yeah. But it's still fucking hilarious. And it still works so well, I think, to the modern day with like Fortnite. The way he incorporated children. Do you ever see his Jake Paul video?
No, but he was like, you can't just go the way he incorporated children. And then
he would be like, "Hey kids, I'm Jake Paul," for like the whole video. And then would be like, "You're not Jake Paul. I know what Jake Paul." And he'd be like, "I'm Jakey Paul with another video." And that's the whole video. And it was really,
that sounds so funny.
It was really funny. It was really good. Cause the way he riled up these kids over something so stupid, it takes you back to like, classic Xbox Modern Warfare Call of Duty gaming, where he can bring the most toxic elements out of people, like with his Overwatch content as well. You know, it's a toxic community. He took advantage of that for multiple videos. You know, he knows how to not just use himself, but use those around him.
Because I tried to watch one Overwatch video, and I like couldn't watch him like actually play a game. It was like really weird. It was like an uninterrupted like FPS game that he was like playing with. I think it was Ethan Klein, because I guess they're friends. Because I also the one time I saw him in person was like the H3H podcast where they brought up the spaghetti and meatballs. But it was like, yeah, like they were just like playing Overwatch, and I'm like, this is weird.
He does.
I was like, no, you're not allowed to play online games. I only want your like story commentary.
Yeah, I've very rarely seen him like collaborate with other YouTubers. He has some members of like his inner circle who make videos with, like mostly Leah and like some group of friends. And that content, yeah, I think he has a good Jackbox video that I enjoy with them. But it's very rare that he brings in other people, and it's interesting when he tries to do that. Because I don't actually know how good he is at online games. Well, it's hard to say.
And I don't want to be mean here, but like it does seem like he is socially awkward to a certain extent.
Very. He's very socially awkward.
Because I did, when I saw him in person, two times I did, when it was like the H3H3 podcast and I watched his wedding video, he was like, it's like so shy.
He's super shy. It's like, completely different from his YouTube personality.
It's so odd because he's like yelling, just like making like random ass jokes, like dark jokes in like a lot of his games. Then you see him on like the HP podcast and he was like kind of like sitting, like just smirking in the corner. And I was like, this is so hard to watch. Because one, it just does not look like the mental picture of him, you know, at least physically and personality wise for me. So like you just see the actual dude and you're like, nah, this is not
him. It's very different. I think that's why he doesn't live stream very much. Doesn't have a camera very often. I can remember some videos where he had a camera. You know, he did a month. It wasn't like a month. He did like this like Donkey Kong December month or some shit where he posted like a Donkey Kong video every day. There was like a period where he was posting like ambient. I gotta show you. It was weird. He had like this period where he just posted a few ambient videos of like trains and birds or something. I don't know if you saw that.
No, it's just his married man arc.
Yeah, he had a weird moment. But you know, thinking back, I can remember like I think the only time I've seen him like live have that fun personality is with Leah. Mm-hmm. There was like a live stream VOD that was really old that I remember
Leah
watching.
Leah is his wife, for those who don't know.
Right, yeah, he's married to her. Married. She's lovely.
I haven't seen much of her content, so.
She's very funny.
I wouldn't know. I don't know if I believe you.
There's this video of them playing Mario Party. And it's really interesting having watched this video because there's this part in it where he's like trying to land something or like the fish. Uh-huh. I don't know what it was contextually, but it would keep fucking him over. And every time he would go, oh, I missed. And Leah would like start dying of laughter every time he did it. And it was really funny because he had it down. Uh-huh. Had this line down. And the weird thing is this like niche reference from this old like live stream VOD is mentioned in other videos. I was watching a video the other day where he missed a shot in Rocket League and he went, oh, I missed. And it's like a callback
to such a deep niche
reference. And it was so funny to me. And I was like, no one understands what he's talking about here, but I know. I know he's talking about when he played Mario Party with Leah on a live stream 5 years ago.
You're in too deep to the Lucky fandom.
I know. It's the culture. He's created such a community, such a rich like catalog of one-liners that it'll hit you if you're a real fan. Mm-hmm.
I think he's definitely grown a lot. What's interesting is, I mean, a lot of his videos, if you see, look at his most popular videos, they are all from a fairly long time ago, mm-hmm. right? Like 7 years ago, 8 years ago. There are not many. I mean, look, he still gets 2.5 million views per video. So he does well. But do you think he's ever going to, do you think he peaked? That's my question. Because it's not, let's make it clear. The position he is in now is not falling off or bad. He's making a lot of views for video, and they're short. He's doing well. But do you think he has peaked?
I think his content model is a little bit more dated now. And I think the bigger thing that hurt his channel, I mean, not that it's doing poorly, but it's his upload schedule for sure. It is very erratic. There can be pretty long gaps between videos because of how much he puts into them. That kind of gameplay style is not as popular as I think it once was. And I don't think that's a knock to his content. I think it shows that he really stays true to who he is. He has a particular style of content that he loves making, and he never really, he's branched out a little bit. But rather than trying to become this bigger YouTuber with more of this kind of a consistent style that with broader appeal, I think his decision to invest his time into a company and become part of this industry that he loves, because I still think first and foremost, he is a gamer, mm-hmm. right? That's where how he sees himself as, that's what he loves. And he thinks he knows he's blessed to be able to do that, to make a living, but he very weirdly still separates that kind of a monetary aspect, career aspect from doing what he loves, and to pour himself in that way rather than trying to continue to grow his channel, start live streaming more, have a higher rate of content. He definitely has put his focus elsewhere mm-hmm. on things that make him happy. And I think that's always what he's done. And it's something I really respect. And I think that could be a factor of what you're describing.
You know, I expect it to be good, like the video game company, but you always worry that it's going to miss. Because mm-hmm. there's like a lot of times when, a video, like any YouTuber tries to get into like a mainstream product, you're like, there's been a lot of misses if you go beyond merch. I mean, like, OTK has their like PC company now. I mean, like, I guess Mr. Beast has done it right because he just has like such a renowned fandom. But at least for me, like, whenever a creator makes like music or releases something that I feel like is off brand for them, this is on brand, but I don't know. I just get very nervous.
Yeah. No, it's scary for sure. I think for him as well, and for people who follow him, they definitely want it to go well. I think we all do. Because I think a large portion of his fan base loves indie games. And I know he does. I think I personally attribute him to the success of Celeste, I think. He, I think, had a big part in that. He was like, since that game was in beta, he was playing it. And I think he might have mentioned that in his video. But I remember the first time anyone had heard of that game was when he released his review of it, saying it was one of the best indie game he'd seen, and then it blew up after that. He has an understanding of what makes that part of the community so great, and he's played so many indie games, mm-hmm. And finds the ones that really speak to what made him, I think, fall in love with gaming, at an early point in his life. And I hope he can reignite that.
I think the difficulty with YouTuber products that I see is you're kind of like balancing being this creator and member of the community with also, I mean, you do have to make a profit with these things. Or at least not a profit, but you have to break even to some sort of extent. So I feel like, you know, some people would be like, oh, like, why can't you just release this game for free? Or like, why is it so much? And possibly lose. Like, I feel like there's this like weird, you want to make something great and you want to make something that's like, I know, like fantastic, but that costs money. And then, but you also want to balance your like expectations like to your community and still like do well with them. And I mean, I can only think about like, let's think about like Valkyrie, like the makeup brand, very on brand for her. Miss. Yeah. My Lord, Reflect was a miss.
That can happen.
Yeah. And you just see these things. And that was like a spiral if we go back to that. I mean, I love Valkyrie, but she was like cutting people out for a minute, like live streaming crazy. And I mean, that was, I think, years in development. Mm-hmm. I believe so. So I don't know. I just have this, you know, this worry under me with like products. And then, you know, you hope he has this a sway he does now, because, you know, there's also the other side where like he makes this great game, puts money in it, needs to make a profit. People love it, but they don't pay for it.
Right.
And like, if he has lost it, I don't know. Like, yeah.
With game profitability, that's always going to be a contentious thing. You know, with microtransactions and games being so expensive, like I think there was some backlash for how expensive Stray was, for being how short it was.
How was it? It was only like 5 hours time.
Yeah, but it was, I think it was
$60 or something.
It might have been either 40 or 60, but people were like, that's absurd. Uh-huh. Or like, you know, games with too much microtransactions, people hate that. But I think
his video on Battlefront 2 was accurate, bro.
Right. Yeah. He is someone who is so outwardly against that and outwardly loving games. Like, you know, he's mentioned Hollow Knight being like, I remember when he talked about it, talking about how much you got for the price of that game and how much he respected that, mm-hmm. what it did for the community and what it did to the game. I think someone as stubborn as him, someone as strong-willed as him and strong-minded as him, is going to make the right decisions. That's my hope. And I think that was the reasoning behind going into that decision, is I think he has so much respect for what makes games good and what makes games fun. And he will balance that with his understanding of, you know, trying to make a profit, make a living in a way that I hope he makes the right decisions. But I really do trust him. And I think people who know what he stands for and who he is, he is willing to sacrifice money to stick true to what he believes in. Mm-hmm. I remember he talked one time when he was just studying.
Kids?
He's not. So I don't think.
Do you think they're going to have kids?
Probably not. Doesn't seem like he would be of the fatherly type.
I don't know. I know Dan TDM had another kid, and I was like, oh, he has two boys now, I think. Which is just like so sweet.
Yeah. I think he would be an interesting father.
He would. Do you know, he's always like, do you know Mango at all?
I do.
Dude, the fact that he is a child is always like, you didn't know that?
No.
Dude, he has a child.
That's interesting. I could not, I mean,
and it's just,
that's weird. Definitely weird.
Dude, I just can't imagine like growing up with like, we're going to get off topic. Growing up with like a dad who's like just like a Smash Bros, like Super Smash Bros Melee, like star.
I remember only when, like, remember when E-Rob had a kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. E-Rob does have a kid.
That was funny. That was really funny.
It's just so hard to think about, because you're like, this is.
Yeah. Like, if PewDiePie ever has kids, thinking, like, imagine them looking at his old content. What would you think of that?
Like, hey, Dad, what was that word you said on the bridge?
Ooh, that's it's an interesting way to take that.
Yeah.
Dunkey might also run into that problem if you look back at his content. I think we kind of talked about that yesterday.
Maybe a bit. So, I mean, like, did he say
it? He has said it.
Dunkey has said it. I'm not quite sure if he has apologized. I'm fairly sure that he has taken the videos down. However, this behavior is never acceptable and has never been acceptable.
I'm fairly certain.
Did he make any apologies? Did he take the videos down?
I think they're still up. And I don't think anyone ever cared, because everybody thought he was black for the longest time.
He is, in fact, not black.
I think the running joke is that he's Puerto Rican.
no way.
I believe I've seen that in multiple videos, that he is
But you can, that doesn't justify saying it.
No, well, no, no. That was a long time ago. I can't remember exactly when he said it. I feel like I've heard him say it.
That I am actually of Puerto Rican descent. Ooh.
I have no way to confirm if he is or is not Puerto Rican.
But I don't remember either where the Puerto Rican joke came from, but like it's in a good number of his older content that he claimed to be Puerto Rican or that people called him Puerto Rican and he played into it.
Well, you know, as an official statement from the YouTube with the Boys headquarters, we denounce any speaking of that word or mm-hmm. claiming that you are of another race when you are not.
Right.
I will say the last thing. I'm going to throw in some criticism. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can do what you did because, like, when you binged all his videos, I think that his humor in small doses I find funny. But, like, when it repeats too much, I get bored. Like, that you told me to watch the, like, top 100 video games of all time video. And it was just too long, bro. He just kept, like, the Shrek joke after, like, the second time I was like,
Those are funny. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched his, I think, that video in particular. And I think also it's been a while since I've watched his older content as much.
But I feel like your whole humor in general is just repeating things. So
right. It works for me. But also, I was younger when I binged all his videos. That was like, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago that I first got into it and first watched everything and got so into it. That's like late middle school for me, you know. I think that's the perfect time to be enjoying Donkey. Right, is
when you're feeling like edgy and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a little edgy, a little bit extreme, a little chaotic, and it worked well for me then. And watching those videos now, I'll still have a good laugh. But his content has matured. And also, like, binging those videos now, you'll get a mix, I think, of his serious videos, his over-the-place mm-hmm. videos. I think his content has definitely improved over time. But that nostalgic, old, just pure chaos Donkey will always have a place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some videos where I think he, even early on in his career, had that style perfected and has just matured as a person, mm-hmm. you know, not just as a creator, but as someone who has more of a passion, I think, than ever before, and who's able to balance that more with that other side of himself. And I think also just be more true to who he is. He was definitely playing it up around that era of, like, you know, loud, crazy, funny, looking back at, like,
was,
you know,
this the
Happy Wheels era?
Happy Wheels era and like Dark PewDiePie era.
Yeah, he was probably around then at his craziest, and that's just not who he is as a person. We've seen that, you know, when he's just more casual.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's weird, dude. I miss that era of YouTube. I talked about last video. Like, I was talking about you know how uploads have kind of gone down and gotten longer. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about how I miss like the 2 10-minute Jacksepticeye uploads in a day era. Or I'd get home and I'd watch like one of them or even two of them. And it'd be like this, like just 10 minutes of Happy Wheels. But it was so much packed into one video. And yet, I do think that is dying out to a certain extent.
For me, that was coming home to watch the daily popular MMOs video as a kid.
Who's that, bro?
Popular MMOs?
Don't know that.
One of the top Minecraft YouTubers back in the day.
Don't know them.
Really? He was up there. He was up there. I remember.
I believe I've mentioned this before in the podcast. I did not play Minecraft as a child.
I barely played it, but I was a Minecraft watcher. I thought we all were.
I was to a certain extent. I like caught on late. I started watching Dan CDM in like middle school.
I think I stayed a bit on the fringe. I didn't always watch. I never watched a single Dan TDM movie. I was very stubborn.
I loved Dan.
And I still am. I love certain creators and I will not touch certain creators. You know,
oh,
and
you're like, oh, the contrarian. Oh, I won't watch Dan TDM. No, because like,
yeah, I think it might be like that. I don't know. I just have to get hooked on a person.
For the podcast, it was the first time I ever watched like Hermitcraft, like Mumbo Jumbo. You know him? No.
Oh, that the Redstone guy?
Yeah.
No, I never watched that.
And Grian, who's like Builder. Mm-mm. No, yeah, it's the first time I got into that community, and it's a huge community.
Yeah.
Very diehard fans.
Still to this day.
Yeah, and they make like crazy stuff. But it's just weird to know like that these pockets, like you missed out on YouTube. Like, oh, I know a bunch of people loved like Yaks Cast and all that.
Stampy a lot of the Cat, ones, Cat I think the ones Sparkles. That I watch are pretty much dead, you know, things like that or have transitioned. I mean, I think I told you this, but like back when I was watching Minecraft, you know, there were the YouTubers like, you know, like popular MMOs who just stuck to Minecraft and then kind of died out or like Sky Does Minecraft, things like that.
Yeah.
But then I remember also watching fucking Vicstar playing Minecraft and that being his whole channel, mm-hmm. and seeing how he kind of transitioned now and where his career has gone is fascinating to me. Well, I only watch his Minecraft era.
He was just, I think he started in Call of Duty and stuff like that. And then he was just making the bag.
Yeah.
I think in one Sidemen video, he listed like how much he makes from like Minecraft servers, like a year or a month or something. And it's a crazy number. Really? It's like a million or some shit.
Minecraft servers.
Yeah.
Well, does he run like the big ones? Any of the...
He runs his own. And it's like a Vicstar Minecraft server.
Wow.
And he still has all that like old pole. Jesus. I'll have to find that figure. But yeah, like, no. I honestly, like, yeah, it's great. Oh, I miss the old era sometimes. Old Smosh games was my shit.
Never watched.
You never watched them?
No.
It was like...
I think what I watched.
I think that... I don't know. I feel like some of them may be problematic now, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
I think two may be problematic now.
Things are different in terms of YouTube content.
But, like, it was like... Laser Corn, Jovenshire. I'm just listing random ass names to you. So yeah, Hinky, Atomic Mari, Flitz, Wes.
No.
That was an era I like, yeah.
I wasn't all the way there on that. I definitely missed out on some of the, you know, I never had Vine.
I never had Vine either.
Yeah, you know, I was stubborn with things like that. Never wanted to get Vine. Never wanted to watch
YouTubers.
I
still don't have BeReal, so.
I'm a sucker now. I didn't have Instagram for the longest time or like. Snapchat, both my Instagram mm-hmm. and my Instagram, my sister made for me. And then my Snapchat, I only made to talk to a girl. So, you know, I never really wanted to personally get into that whole space.
I refused to watch Ninja and like Tim the Tatman during that era. I was like, I won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still clowned my friend for like, he like subbed and like donated to Ninja during that era. Really? I'm like, bruh, I'm mad. I was big into music.
What's the one guy? Oh, Shroud. I watched Shroud a little bit. Mostly in the Apex days. Shroud playing Apex was, like, so good. That was a good era.
Okay. I think we are going to start to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty far from our main topic.
But that's the fun of podcast.
Right.
But we will see you guys next time. Goodbye.